Our final scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 33, verses 12 through 23, and you will find this starting on page 140 of your pew Bibles. Exodus 33, 12 through 23. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, 'Lead these people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." How often do you think about the greatness of God? How often do you sit and think about just how awesome and wonderful our God is? How often, honestly, be honest with yourself, how often do you think the words of that song, "How great is our God? How great is our God?" It's really easy to get distracted from just the awe that is God. And your preacher, I'm a pretty good preacher, but even I have a bad habit of getting really focused on the thinking part of faith and tearing things apart and really thinking about them, and forgetting about the feeling. Forgetting about just standing in awe, looking at the cross, and just standing in awe of the glory and love of God. Presbyterians in particular are really bad about this, about worrying so much about the thinking and ripping apart Scripture and coming up with the minutia, that we forget to just stand and say, "How great is our God?" As a personal thing, one of the first things they tell you when you start seminary is to make sure that you don't forget that. They warn you right up front, you're going to be doing a lot of thinking, a lot of reading, a lot of questioning. Don't forget why you're here. And then, very shortly after that, you get bombarded with books and assignments and reading. And it's great. It's wonderful. I loved it. I love having books on my shelves. I love reading new books. I love thinking and tearing things apart and really wrestling with it. But it's really easy to forget when you spend all of that time thinking. The feeling of awe that is our God. That feeling of awe of the love that we have been shown. Now, as we're coming up into Christmas and then in Easter, we get reminders. We do get reminders of this. We talk about Christmas, the Virgin Mary giving birth to the Savior, God walking amongst us in love, the man Jesus willingly allowing himself to be executed wrongly as a sacrifice for us, Jesus coming back, being resurrected, Jesus ascending into heaven. We get these reminders in the holiday seasons. But even then, in the holidays, they get overshadowed by all of the stress, all of the worry, all of the things that go with being Christmas, being Easter, celebrating, getting family together. You know the stresses of the holidays. And we get lost. We get lost in the world, we get lost in the thinking, and we forget that our God is wonderful and awesome. This passage, though, and if you can't tell, I'm getting excited for this part of the sermon. This passage is a great reminder. And there's something about this passage that's just wonderful. It's just so wonderful. Wonderful in a nerdy and immature sort of way, but it is just wonderful. The word, now typically when I tell you about Hebrew, it's boring and most people shut off, but really pay attention to this. The word that we translate from Hebrew to back is actually plural. Let your mind think for a little bit. God is represented here. He's said to have some human features. So he has a face and he has hands and he has a back. If you look at somebody's back, what do they have two of on their back? Not their shoulder blades, considerably further south. When God told Moses to look, he was going to see his back. Best translation, God told Moses that he was going to see his butt. Best translation. It's so giddy for me to say that because it's such a great, it's just like, because the scripture seems so proper and like perfect. Oh, you're going to see his back. But then you look at it and it's just like, oh my gosh. God's telling Moses he's going to see his butt, and it's so great. And I really am an 8-year-old wrapped up in a 30-year-old's body. I get that. And it's a fun fact, and it just makes you smile. But when you really think about it for a second, what is the worst part of the human body? What is the most disgusting, vilest part of the human body? I'm not going to go into why. I'm not going to go into arguments of other parts. Let's just say that that really is the part that we should despise the most. When God shows Moses himself, Moses sees the worst, the lowest part of God. And that lowest part of God is so glorious, so wonderful, so powerful, that from that time on, Moses glows. From that moment on, Moses has to wear a veil unless he is giving the word of God. Moses was exposed to the worst part of God. And here is how the Israelites responded when he came down the hill, down the mountain. Definitely not an Iowa person. Down the mountain. The radiant face of Moses is how the section is started. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near. But Moses called to them, and so Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke. Afterwards, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commandments that the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. That was from Exodus 34. Right after, he walks down the mountain, and they see him, and after having been exposed to the worst part of God, his face was so radiant that they were frightened of him. I love it so much, because it's such a great reminder of how glorious and awesome God is. And we forget. I am so guilty of it. I know others are too. You get so stuck in the work of the church and the thinking of the church. And for me, do I actually believe this or that? I just had to do some editing on my statement of faith and some additions. And you get so stuck in the, am I saying the right words and am I saying the right thing, that you forget to just stand in awe of God, in awe of his glory, in awe of his love. So that's what I want to charge you with today. It's been a tough couple of weeks. I said that last week, and there's been some heavy things that I've had to preach on. And there's always this charge of doing better. And I want to charge you with something a little bit different this week. Joyfully stand, remembering the awe of God. Joyfully bow at our Father's throne in awe of the love that we were shown. Joyfully look towards the cross and remember the love of Jesus. Because we do worship an awesome God. We do worship a glorious and powerful and loving God. And so just remember that. Remember joyfully the God that we worship, and worship him joyfully, remembering his awe. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.